So freedom is the power or the right to act or speak or think as one wants without restraint, and tyranny is the cruel and oppressive rule of arbitrary use of power or control, an unstrained whim. That's something somebody dreams up in their head and they want to try to execute it to the people. That's a whim. So that's the definition of tyranny. 2 Corinthians 3:17 is where the tithing message will come from. We'll pray for it as the ushers get ready to pick it up. Let's pray for that right now. So, Father God, as we are get ready to collect the tithes and offerings, we pray that it is blessed. We want the offering to be blessed. The same way you lifted up the bread to heaven, we lift up the offering to you and pray that it's blessed and multiplied for thy kingdom. In thy name, in Jesus, amen. So let it be picked up. So 2 Corinthians 3:17. Big Steve, it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I'll read it again. Read it with me if you would, please. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So I thought about this and using this for our tithing message because freedom is what we're all after. Living in America, we live in a free country, but actually to be free, you have to be free in your spirit. And the way you get free in your spirit is to be a born-again believer. And because you're a born-again believer, then the mind is set free, my speech is set free, and my very actions are set free, and I become a free being. There are people who live in America who aren't born again, and they're still bound to their sinful nature and shackled in that. And that is a real rough way to live, is not to be free inside your spirit man or in your mind. And God wants us to use that freedom and share it and let it flow out and let it go out and let it heal and do and all these wonderful things. So I thought we'd turn to John 7:38 to kind of get the answer of the God's design in this message of freedom today. So he says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Let me read it again. Whoever believes in me. So Jesus is saying, if you've trusted in him and you've believed in him, he says that out of his heart, I told you that, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's Matthew 12:34. So if you want to really know what's inside people, you can kind of squeeze them like toothpaste and you'll see what's actually, they've been downloading in their spirit. And that usually comes through crisis or tension or these types of things that are going on in our world today. People get squeezed, they get confused, they get emotional, and out comes things that they've been downloading in their data bank. Amen. But Christians, he says, what will come out of you is flows of living water. Flow of rivers of living water. So there's three words we're going to concentrate on. Flow being one and living water being the other two. So flowing is what we're after. We don't want to be just a, how do I say that? We don't want to be just a swamp or a lagoon. You go, well, what's wrong with swamps and what's wrong with lagoons? Actually, they're useful in their own deals here. But I would tell you, as someone who owns a lagoon, what's in it? Lagoon collects doo-doo. That's what it does. That's what lagoons do. And that's what stagnant Christians collect. Is doo-doo. It doesn't mean they're not saved, and it doesn't mean they're not wonderful, and it doesn't mean that they're beautiful and fantastic and all that, and they're God's creatures. That's not what I'm saying. But they collect like others collect instead of sharing and letting the Holy Spirit flow through them and out to the people we're ministering to. All they want to do is collect and consume and hold on to. Instead of being fishers of men, we become keepers of the aquarium. Amen? Not much flowing in an aquarium, is there? So this message of freedom is something that God wants us to use, and he wants us to exercise that. And God's people said amen. So let's pray for the message going forward. So Lord God, I pray that you show up here. We're asking you to show up and in this Romans chapter 8 message. And thy name of Jesus we do pray. And the recipient said amen. So I'm here to give the message of freedom. I'm here to warn you of some signs about tyranny, whether you're reading about it in the Bible or there's actually some of that going on in our society today. And some of the new stuff that comes out in it's the freedom. The way we take away some of our freedom now is we've disguised these words, Jimmy, in things like safety. Say it with me, safety. We're concerned about your safety. We're concerned about your safety. We're concerned about your safety. And I brought this up in the pastors and deacons meeting today. I said, really? Are we really concerned about other people's safety? I thought about that for just a second. Like, when everybody leaves from church today, do we all ponder and wonder if everybody got home safely? Not necessarily, because we're usually, that's our own responsibility as adults to make sure that we get home safely. And if you agree, just say amen. That's my job. When I leave here, to make sure that I'm safe, and it's your job as an adult, adult, to make sure that you're safe. That's why we don't have kids and children driving cars. They're too young. They couldn't operate them safely. But safety is really not that far away from control. It's just actually a couple clicks away from control. And tell me if you think that you understand this. And we'll see some of this stuff come up in our biblical teaching today. So safety sometimes starts as a suggestion. Sometimes in church life, there are a lot of experts in churchology who will suggest what I need to do. They suggest what I need to do. You ever had anybody in your family suggest what it is that you need to do, or how you need to teach, or how you need to raise your children, or suggest that you ought to do your oil this way and don't let all this? And it starts out as just a suggestion because I'm worried about your safety. And I thought about, if we're really consumed as Americans about one another's safety, and I believe we truly are as humans, we're consumed and overrun by everyone's safety. If that's really a true statement, shouldn't we first be concerned about the safety of our smallest people? Amen. Our smallest children? And shouldn't we be consumed with the safety of the unborn? Oh, I just got in your stuff, didn't I? No, we are. We're really concerned about your safety. They're really concerned about my safety and me riding a bike or me riding a horse or me, and are really concerned about my safety. And then they make suggestions like this. Maybe it's time for you to sell your bike. That happened immediately. And aren't you too old to ride a horse? Isn't that a little crazy roping? It's all a little crazy, and these are the things that kind of keep us alive, isn't it? Amen. Isn't this the kind of thing that kind of makes us free, that we all do a little edgy, and some of us drive race cars, and some of us, be careful now, because all I'm concerned with really is your safety. Really what I'm concerned about is controlling you. So safety becomes the next thing, becomes a suggestion. And if my suggestion doesn't work, then I want to regulate. Then we want to regulate how much you should have. You shouldn't have too much, because too much is like too much and I don't have much. So you shouldn't have much. So we need to regulate you and make sure that you don't go after the supersized soda either, because that's too much. So we want to regulate that. And if you don't follow those regulations, the next things we're going to put in place is mandates or make it illegal if you get a supersized soda. Is anybody following? Just shake a little bit if you like you're breathing today. But here's the deal, Mr. Schutenberg. I'm worried about your safety, especially you jumping out of planes the way you do. You know what I say? Go for it. Go for it. If you're free and you like to do it, I don't know why anybody jumps out of perfectly good running planes, but he loves it and he's doing it. And somebody ought to say amen in the church. But just see, you don't have to understand why everybody does everything, because we're free thinking people and we do what we want to do because we're adults. And I don't need you being overly concerned about my safety. Amen. That's why I let Big Steve do my electric. He goes, Rankin doesn't have any jurisdiction on it. You don't want him involved in the safety. But then, Mike Sr., then the regulations come to mandates, and then it becomes to manipulation, and then we slide right into control. And then by the time you get in the pulpit, they're going to want to control, and you have to submit, and all these different things, your message, because we're afraid that somebody would be offended by the way you speak. I'm worried about the safety of them. Amen. So in order for everyone to be safe and no one to have their feelings hurt, we want you to submit your sermons. It's happened in some places. They've walked all that back. It didn't work out real well. I've walked in funerals and they had people ask me, they said, well, what are you going to preach on? I said, Jesus. It's happened. It truly has happened to me. They're like, what are you going to preach on in this funeral? I said, Jesus. And I won't go any further than that. But some of the things got pretty strange for a minute. But then after a while, people, they kind of rolled that back. They go, man, we can't tell people how to preach. And thank God, because we live in the United States of America, they can't do that. So be careful with the word safety. I know everyone's concerned about each other's safety. And if we truly are, let's start out with the smallest human beings, the unborn, and be concerned about their safety. Amen? All right, because we love human beings. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It could be the grand poobah, whatever that means, of freedom. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit has set you free. Say free. And I'll let you to participate anytime you hear me say free or freedom, because I absolutely love being free. I love, I'm on an ice cream kick again. I got to be honest with you. I just am. It's okay to go I'm doing it safely. I'm not really. I'm up here lying right now, Debbie. I'm just, you're not doing it safely. I'm in there studying in my chair, and we had like a celebration cake because my daughter graduated and all this kind of thing, and there wasn't any ice cream. I was confused on when we were actually going to get it, and they're like, Grandma's buying an ice cream cake. Do you want any? And I'm like, yeah. And my only question from that point is, how big of a piece can you bring into me? And me still be able to study the gospel. And they go hand in hand. I'm getting fed spiritually and physically. And God's people said amen to that. And how good was it? Oh, it was so good. It was so good. Tell me to go on. So it set me free. In verse 3 says, for God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned the sin and flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life of peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. And I thought about that. Hostile, that's a big word now. So you might even hear that, JR, in some social media sites, that it's hostile. You want to talk about what's hostile? Sin is hostile to God. Hold on for a second before we start applauding. Because all sin is wrongdoing, so if all wrongdoing is hostile to God, I'd make sure that I got right with my Creator before I went on anymore. So if we want to talk about freedom and all these different kind of things, I need to submit this part of my life to God so he can deal with it, so this thing won't be counted against me when I get called up in the roll. Amen? Roll call. And I thought about this freedom. So I let's stop for just a second. I'm going to talk about little Johnny again. Little Johnny, here's a small version of what freedom looks like when it's taken away. So little Johnny, he goes out on the playground, and it's in 2020. He wants to play on the playground, and we've taken all the, say it with me, the precautions or the safety measures. We got new playground equipment and Big Steve, and it's got the rubberized mulch, and it's, I'm sure it has been sanitized and baptized by hand sanitizer and everything else. Because pea gravel and mulch are just concrete below, it's not acceptable. I got it. And I got to go back to the tire swing, because I don't think little Johnny's mom would let him ride the tire swing because it's too dangerous. So what she does do is she allows him to go down the plastic slide. Whatever happened to the giant metal slide? What happened to the big cookie sheet? Buddy, when that joker was hot, you could cook eggs on that thing. I need somebody to talk back to me on that. I'm talking about a slide that's up that high. You had to have guts just to climb the thing, let alone slide down. And you know if you had shorts on, your leg was sticking to it. Deal with the heat or spit on it or something, but that was fun back then. Amen. But little Johnny can't climb the bar, so he has to sit down and watch everyone else do it. That's what it looks like when someone's freedom is taken away in the name of safety. Amen? So you can make all the nylon slides and all the metal coated such and such. And can I get on to the way that we're raising our children now, the little babies? I haven't raised a baby in a long time. My youngest has graduated and going to be 19 this year. But I remember there was only one real way of baby. There was only one real implement that you should use to babysit a child, and it was the Johnny jump up. Does anybody know what a Johnny jump up? It was an old-fashioned spring in the middle with a clamp that went over the door trim. And here you put him in there at 6 months, and the way he entertained himself was to build up his own leg muscles and jump it up and down. And he could fall asleep right in there. And if he was teething, he could hang his teeth over there and chew on the bar right there. Can't do it now because it's probably full of lead. Now, if you're going to babysit, the car seats are that big and the roll-arounds are even bigger. But it's safe, I'll tell you. Amen. So, back to life in the Spirit. Verse 12 says, so then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. And the Apostle Paul talks about the flesh. You got to buffet the flesh.
Gary, he says, I got to put it into submission. He goes, why do I do the things I know I shouldn't do? Amen. And I'm thinking about that when I'm at my grandson's graduation. I'm going to graduations just every day. And I'm out there, and I know I got to play softball at 8:30. What do I do? My son, who is also a meat eater, as I am, said, Dad, I got a pork roast I've been smoking for 13 hours. And I said, where's it at? And all the ranking males just had a feast. Why do I do the things I do? I knew I shouldn't have went back for the third and fourth helping. But I do what I do because it's hard for me to restrain the flesh when I hear there's that much meat. It appears that it should be illegal to have that much meat in a garage. Amen? But it's so cool because it's so freeing to eat as much as you absolutely want. Freedom. And that's why people are so excited about living in America. Amen. And being Christians. Amen. And celebrating people that are graduating, whether it's your young grandson or your daughter or your niece and nephew, it's an act of freedom that has just got launched out into the world. They're starting their new life and they got the training and all these things, and it puts a smile on your face, and you say, that's my daughter and that's my grandson, and you're part of, and it's actually like a freedom celebration. And I believe, and I've told you before, what you celebrate, you get more of. Well, I want to take it to something else that I heard, actually, that I've taught. It comes from Matthew 5:41, and I've actually taught it to the deacons and taught it to the pastors and my staff, and I've used the model from the Chick-fil-A company, who has more success in a restaurant than any restaurant in America, and they're only open 6 days out of the week. So you say, how does it make them successful? What is the model is the Bible in the Chick-fil-A training. And I think it's a training about freedom and the freedom that we have, the freedom that we have in Jesus. So Jesus is talking about in this text, like from 5:38 to 5:41 even, probably down to 5:42. He talks about turning the other cheek and eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, and going 1 mile and all these different things. And he's telling you to turn the cheek. And you go, what does all this mean? He's teaching people how to be free from things and not bound to the things of the world. So you might say, please explain, Pastor, I need to understand what's going on. So we'll use this model, and I heard this, there was a gentleman that gave this speech at my daughter's graduation. He used this very analogy. He says, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him two. Go with him 2 miles. So back in Bible days, the Jewish people were under tyranny or a tyrannical type of government. And whatever the Roman soldiers said, that's what happened. You had to follow by the rules. Say rules or rules. We just say the rules or safety or whatever it is, or regulations or regulating you. So the Jewish people had to take these things, and whether it was the coat of mail or the shield or the sword or whatever, he would carry it, Terry, for the Roman soldier. So when he got to his destination, the Roman soldier would be fresh, and the Jewish man would continually be oppressed or tired. You go, well, what's the deal on the second mile? The second mile is where you and I find freedom. We go above and beyond. So at Chick-fil-A, if you were to order the combo meal, you would expect a sweet tea and waffle fries and a chicken sandwich for $5.99 or whatever. That's what you would expect.
But second mile service is how they treat their customers, where it's my pleasure, or can I refill that, or they come to your table, and it's called second mile. Say that with me, second mile. Second mile service is what Jesus was trying to teach to his family. He said, here's the deal. What you need to do is, after they tell you to carry the shield and the sword 1 mile, stop them and say, you know what? The second mile is on me. You're going to get it here in a minute, so stay with me. Here's the deal. The second mile, I'm going to carry it for you, that second mile. That second mile's on me. Hold on. Don't worry about it. I got it. So I'm no longer being made to carry it. I'm carrying it to be a servant for you. And that makes me free, because I'm doing it in my own free will. So the second mile is when I get free. When I start to adjust my stinking thinking to the way that Jesus thinks, that's when I become free. And God's people said amen. And here's how you got to say it to the devil or whoever's trying to regulate you or manipulate you. Go, you know what? I got this. This is the haters on the email and the Facebook and all that. Go, you know what, man? I should pop off, or I should probably actually pop you, but I'm not going to. As a matter of fact, I want to ask you, I can see that you're hurting inside. What can I pray for you about? I got this thing. And the devil and all the rest of the haters are out there going, man, what's going on with this guy? He's starting to learn how to love people, woo, watch this, who are unlovable. Oh, look out. Somebody, let's stand up right now and celebrate for just a minute. Just shout a little bit and just go, oh, I got that. Just say it, I got that. I got that, I got that. Oh, we can pop off. I can pop off with the best of them. You can pop off with the best of them. That's easy to do, Lord. We can pop off. But can you love those who are unlovable? You need to tell them, say, you know what, man? You've been out here, and we'll bring the praise team up and the deacons, pastors, everything. You guys have been popping off at me for a long time. You on Facebook and everything, cracking on me about me going to church and me loving Jesus and all that. You've been working me for a long time. You know what, man? What I'm starting to discover, I went to church this Sunday. Just tell them, start out with this, JR. Say, I went to church on Sunday and I started to learn something. There must be something under your saddle. You're going to get it in a minute. Something's bothering them. See, I've learned something about riding horses over the years. There's a couple of things that'll make a horse throw you. And one of those things, Nature Boy, is having something that they wasn't brushed, or you cinched them up too tight, or you did something. There was a burr under their saddle. You go, man, you got a nasty old attitude on you. Did you ever hear that person nasty? You know what it is, Franny? They're bound in their spirit. They're bound. They're mad at everybody all the time. I tell you about that. They're mad at everybody. They're mad. They're bound. They ain't free. When you're free, you don't talk like that. When you're free, you don't blame people for your shortcomings. I try to do that every morning when I get on the scale. I'm like, you know what, man? I'll tell you what. That dang ice cream. Watch this. It's personal responsibility. God just did. He didn't tell me about my weight. He says, you ain't got a problem with the weight. Your weight, he said, you got a problem with sticking stuff in your mouth. That's what he says to me. Is that okay? Do you want to get free from these cats that are talking all this stuff on the internet, whatever? Ask them, say, man, can I pray for you? Watch this and do this, and do this because you was in church today. Go, Laurel, the second mile's on me. Second mile's on me. I'm good. Here's the deal. I can stay late and I can be up all night. Second mile's on me. I don't have to get home early. What's this? I got to get home early, all this stuff. I got to get home. What are you going to do when you get home? You're going to sit. Second mile's on me. That'll probably be our new slogan. Second mile's on me, Donnie. Second mile's on me. I got you. And you say it that way, Mike. You just go, I got you. I got you on that one. All right, I'm good. I'm good. I got you on that one. Does that make sense? Just you saying it could bring freedom into your spirit, man. I don't need to get nasty with you. I don't gotta get nasty. People don't have to be nasty. You choose to be that way. You say, well, how do you get set free from Nastyville? Jesus. What does the freedom feel like, Pastor, when you really get freed up in your spirit? It's something that's so supernatural, I can't even describe it. So, well, how do I get that? Well, first of all, you got to be born again. You have to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. And then what God requires of his people, Zach, is this, is for you to meet him every morning on your knees. You go, what will I say? Don't worry about what to say. All you got to do is meet him there. He'll tell you what we need to talk about. I think that's what's going on in America. We're so worried, Kevin, about everything that's going on. God's just going, man, I want the first part of your morning. I'll instruct you on what you should do and what you should say and how you should say it. And I'll keep you from conversations you don't need to get into. And the church said, hello. I don't want to get tied up in a conversation I don't need to be in. I don't need to be in everybody's mix every morning, do I? Man, I'm the dude that's starting to forget his phone places. I'm loving it, man. I'm straight up loving it. Dad's like, he left it over here. And I'm like, praise God. Maybe you don't need your phone every day. I don't know. I'm just saying. I don't know. Maybe you don't need to be on the computer every morning. Maybe you need to have a date with your Bible. Is that okay? When we talk about this stuff, I'm just trying to get you free. You do what you want with it. But it's the creed that I live by. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for you. Man, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to be real with you. I'm going to enjoy my day, regardless of what gets thrown my way. Regardless. I love America. I love Jesus. Love you guys. I love the hot summers in St. Louis. Love them. Everything about them. I love every part of it. Because I know it's not going to be here very long. And some of you guys ain't hearing it right now. You're all worried about right now. And then when it gets December, everybody's going, oh man, I wish it would warm up a little bit. Second mile service today. Let's pray about that. So Father God, I know in order to be a distributor of the second mile service, I got to be on the team. And I know Chick-fil-A's got their own team for their restaurant. And Lord, you're building up an army at this church that's ready to go the second mile. I'm just asking today, just because I'm curious. It's not going to make you any holier. Just like today, not for like a week or like 9 years or whatever, I'm going to do second mile service today. Just show me if that's you. You want to just today. We don't have to have a plan for next week. Second mile, just like, you know what? I got that for you. Let me hold it. Watch this now. Let me hold the door for you. Oh, the devil's going to get mad about that. He held the door for me. Every once in a while, it's okay if your spouse comes up to you and says, hey, we got to get going. That means you spend a little more time than normal with somebody is all I'm trying to say. That's second mile service. That's what Jesus was talking about in the Sermon on the Mount. And then I'm going to ask you this question. What would the world be like if we all did second mile service the other 364 days? Just everybody. Don't worry about where they go to church or if they do go to church. Second mile service. It'd be a pretty cool place to live. I mean, not that it's not now. It's fantastic. But I always am the guy that believes things can get a little better. You'd like to get some of that today, wouldn't you? Just where you could tell somebody, so I got that, I'm good. I got you on that one. I'll do that for you. Can I carry those groceries in? Can I dump the trash for you? Can I wash the car for you? Second mile service. Yeah, we're going to stay up late. We're going to get up early. We're going to stay late and pray. Woo! We're going to get up early and pray. What a concept that would be for Christians to pray more. Let me pray for you today, friend. What a great day it is. Lord, we got a lot of second mile service people in this sanctuary today. Something's a little different about today, God, I got to admit. Something seems to be a little freer, a little lighter. I think there's a revelation. I think there's a revival coming here at Have Bible Will Travel and its members and partners and people. And for all our online friends. And Lord God, I pray that your spirit will rise up and save those who need to be saved and redeem the lost and shake the souls of the saints. In his name we pray together. Would you shout to the Lord, amen. Hallelujah.